Welcome to Inspired Artist Podcast. In this episode, I get to talk with Fiola, who is a fairy-like sort of presence on this earth. I sort of imagine her as kind of gently walking upon the earth. She creates music that sounds like it comes from another dimension. She just released a cover of Guru Singh's Rise Up, which is the song that is done to wake everyone up for morning sadhana at the Kundalini Yoga festivals, especially summer solstice. It is really dear to my heart for that reason. And she just has a very strong love and a really strong practice of Kundalini Yoga. She also happens to be married to Oshri Hakak, who is someone that I got to speak to in a previous episode, so you can check that out too. So be sure to check out her crowdfunding campaign that's about to come up. She is going to release a sadhana album, and she'll talk about this epic vision for this sadhana album. All right, let's go. Can you explain that to me?
Well, Hugrun is just my given name, and Fiola is my middle name.
Oh,
Fiola Fiola was my grandmother, actually.
Okay. It's a little easier to pronounce for us Westerners, too.
It is, yeah. That's why I go by Fiola now, because it always turned into a 20-minute conversation about how to pronounce my name. So I love having people learn, you know, to use their tongue in a different way. It was just a little easier when I was meeting a lot of new faces every day, maybe at festivals or something, and it would be just easier to have a simpler name. But even Fiola is hard for some people to remember.
Yeah.
I either think it's Fiona or Viola.
Yeah, it's like a combo of the two.
Yeah.
Which I would imagine would help people remember it, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, maybe it's interesting how the brain works, you know? Just
my kids have what most people would consider pretty hard names, and it's interesting how people approach learning names, you know, where they're like, oh, I'm not even going to bother, I don't need that, my brain won't be able to process it, you know, they have all these beliefs about names. And I'm always thinking like, oh, what a great opportunity to expand my, you know, my brain power and see if I can remember something new.
Exactly. I mean, I learn new names pretty easily, but then I can't remember them. That's my problem. You know, I have a really hard time remembering like name to face. I remember the faces, and I have a pretty easy time pronouncing and saying the names, or, you know, learning how to say them. But then putting it to the person is just something that I keep forgetting, which is the whole point of it. But, you know.
So do you have a trick for like trying to get them to say their name the next time?
Not really. No, but that's a really good idea. I should find a trick. Yeah.
One of the ones that someone taught me was you say, now remind me your name again. And then they'll say their first name, and you'll say, no, your last name.
Ah. Yeah.
I don't use that, but I thought that was cute.
Yeah. I mean, I do sometimes just ask people bluntly, like, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. Like, can you tell me? Yeah. So. But I don't think people usually don't take offense of you not remembering them, their name, you know. At least I think in the community that we're in, and you meet so many different people so many different times, and a lot of people have same names or similar names, you know. So I don't think people take offense of, you know, not remembering it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I keep telling myself, at least. Yeah.
That's a very empowering belief.
Yeah.
Yeah. So am I looking at your place in Iceland right now?
No, I'm in LA.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm at Oshri's house.
Oh, nice.
So we're here in the nice weather. My son is here too, and my parents are here.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really, really nice. All the family coming together.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting along.
Yeah, very well. It's been really lovely having everybody come together. I have had a couple of family gatherings already, and it's been really nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I loved your totally different subject, but I loved your video that you just made.
Thank you, with the rise up.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And I really appreciate when people do something, you know, differently when they do a cover. And it, right. it's so angelic and
yeah, well, thank you so much. I actually got some great news this morning. I woke up, I had a message from a friend from the community, and she said, we're doing this yoga festival for the first time, I believe, in Singapore, Kundalini Yoga Festival. And she woke up hearing my voice. So they actually played it as the wake-up song there.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. So I was really honored and happy to hear that.
And I love it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, it felt like, usually I don't like doing covers. They have their own essence, like songs have their own essence with the performer that, you know, wrote them. But then there are these songs that just, you know, have this kind of like an invitation of just allowing it to expand and like grow and become reborn in a different way, you know. And this song is just something that goes around the community. And it's just, yeah, so I was really happy to put that out. And I felt like, yeah, this is going to be the first thing that I put forward. Also, just, you know, Guru Singh, who wrote the song, is one of the most important teachers in my life as well. So it was also kind of a tribute to him, I guess. Yeah. So I really started doing music with my Kundalini yoga practice after I did the level one teacher training. And that's 5 years ago. So I've been doing, yeah, the music has been my companion through it. It was like before a little bit and then during.
All right, at this point, I just had to leave it in the background. You can hear her son interrupts, and they're speaking in Icelandic. I just thought this added too much color to take out. So here it is going on below, and we'll come back in.
So what were we saying? Sorry.
Well, so were you always a musician? And then you suddenly... Right. Wait, yeah, how did... I know.
I've always been a singer. So I used to sing in a choir from a very young age, and I loved singing in a choir, and I was very independent with it. Like when I was 13, I decided that I really wanted to be in this very, very good choir that was like on the other end of town, and I had to independently like apply for the choir and going there and, you know, get myself there every week. And it was so I had a lot of confidence and I had a lot of drive in just singing, and I really wanted to do music. I like that. And then I would always be singing in some form. When I met Kundalini Yoga, it was just a totally different world opened up. So I started to pick up some instruments, and I learned that I was actually pretty good at picking up instruments and learning fast, you know. So all of a sudden I had the ukulele as my companion, harmonium, and playing piano sometimes, guitar, you know, all kinds of instruments came
up. So you didn't play any of these prior to Kundalini Yoga?
I played piano when I was, I practiced piano or was taking lessons from the age of 5 to 10.
Okay.
So yeah,
you had some background.
I had some background, yeah, but I really hated it. When I was 10, I just stopped. And But that was it. I mean, that was it. And then I just picked up the ukulele, which is such a simple and amazing instrument. So it was just so easy to just pick up the ukulele and use it as a companion for my voice, you know. Because I also just like doing things with my voice that sounds very instrumental, mm-hmm. in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was. It just came up like after the teacher training, I just started to make my own songs. It was one teacher that just came to me, asked, "Do you write your own mantras?" And I said, "Well, no, I haven't." And he said, "Well, now you do. Go home and write mantras." and I did. Yeah.
Did that flow really easily?
Yeah, really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say that the ukulele sounds particularly good with your voice. I'm not sure what it is about it. It's
yeah. It has we have like a very similar resonance or something, mm-hmm. like yeah. me and the ukulele. It's yeah. It's really sweet. Yeah, it was a really good match right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I was remembering the first time that I ever heard mantra music, and it was Sean Johnson and the Wild Lotus Band. Not sure if you're familiar. It was all bhakti mantras.
Okay.
And my teacher at the time, because this was before I discovered Kundalini Yoga, told me, you know, I'll teach you some mantras if you want to write some music to it like they do. And I could not even conceive of being able to write a melody to a mantra. And I was writing whole songs, you know, but
wow.
I could not imagine, like, how would you do this? I don't get it. Took me years to figure it out. But it wasn't until I discovered Kundalini Yoga mantras. It felt easy. It was like, it was the mantras for me, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was exactly the opposite for me, you know, because I'm also a poet, always written a lot of poetry, like since I was tiny, you know. I have poetry from when I was 9 or even younger. And I write a lot of poetry, but I've never been able to put my poetry into songs. Like, even though I get songs, like, songs come to me super easily, melodies, very easily. And, like, with the mantras, it was just, as soon as I heard the Kundalini Yoga mantras, there's just melody that comes with it through me. And I can just sit down and someone could, you know, tell me a mantra, a Kundalini Yoga mantra, or any mantra. And it just feels like it comes through me immediately. So, it happens a lot like that. So a lot of the music that I do nowadays is not really something that I can repeat, you know, because it's just something that I do in the moment, and then it's gone forever unless I record it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you have another recording on the horizon?
Well, I'm finishing the first debut album, so the first full album, so to say. Yeah, so that's I've been doing that in Iceland. I've been recording in Iceland, and it's a sadhana mantra chant album.
Ah.
So it has, and Rise Up is kind of a part of that. So it was just like the first song of the album, I guess. And then I have the mantras, and so my plan was pretty big in the beginning. The scope was quite big, and I wanted to do a full Aquarian sadhana with as my experience of it, with video and audio,
like, so, including the kriya or just the chants,
including the kriya. But the kriya would actually just be a meditation, like a chanting meditation as well. So it would just be a nod sadhana experience. Mm-hmm. It would just be a full experience with only using the nod and the mantras. So I had talked to my teacher about this, who is Shiv Charan Singh from Scotland. He lives in Portugal. Yeah, he's an amazing teacher. And so I have talked to him about this for a long time, and he's been kind of guiding me through the steps of how to start this. I think now I've realized that I will do it in parts. And the album that's coming out now is going to be the Sadhana Chants.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be only the Sadhana Chants. But then afterwards, I also have recorded, and I will also be putting out a Waheguru Simran for before the Japji, and then the Japji, and then tuning in musically, like with the Nad, and then a Kriya, a chanting Kriya.
Wow.
And my wish was, even for a while, I wanted to do the bowing Japsai. So, because it is a Kriya, it's also chanting.
Yeah.
But I came away from that idea pretty quickly after I, because I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to pronunciation. I didn't even want to put anything out there because I was always afraid of my pronunciation not being good enough. And so now I kind of got over that. I know it's not perfect. I recognize that I will have some accent, and that's fine. So it was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we all will.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a really beautiful project, and I'm still working on it, of course. And it was something that kind of was born after my first level 2 teacher training.
Hmm.
And we did it in Iceland, in the south of Iceland, in this beautiful place overlooking the most amazing volcano. And in this cathedral, we were allowed, so the teacher training was in a different place, but across the lake there was this cathedral that we were allowed to do our sadhana in. So we went over in the morning and went over the lake, and we did sadhana in the cathedral, and it was the experience of just chanting there in this divine sacred place. It was
with amazing acoustics, I'm guessing.
Amazing acoustics in the morning in the Amrit Vela. And we all talked about how it was like, and even some of the people said that they saw like this column of light from the middle of the church, just like angels spiraling.
Wow.
And it was a really deep transformative experience. And so I always, in my subtle form, I always went back there whenever I was chanting the mantras.
Hmm.
Whenever I was chanting these versions that came to me, like I would be transformed back there. So I didn't want to just put out an album that would be, you know, the mantras and you can chant to them, but I really wanted to also kind of let them tell the story of like transforming people into that space and that place. And I tried for 3 years, I tried recording with different recording artists, and it just never felt right. So I took a long time telling people, it's coming soon, I'm recording soon, I'm starting recording, and it was never right. But then in the end, I found actually a family friend in Iceland who is an amazing recording artist. It's not in the spiritual community, he's doing his first mantra album. He's otherwise he does like pop rock, and
he's a producer.
He's a producer, yes.
Yeah.
And he's also, yeah, he also records. So he also records, and he also has his own stuff. So he's also an artist.
Yeah.
We went to the church, and he set up all these mics everywhere, and he just wanted to get all the sound from all over. And we set up like a beautiful scenery with candles, and I had a videographer, a friend of mine from Spain, come over, and he recorded the whole process. So
you released this video, right? I've seen a video.
Yeah. So this is a part of it. I mean, so because the vision was really just to have the whole album as a video as well, so people could be in the experience. And it, so it's not really like a single video. It's actually just being there and being able to do the Aquarian sadhana with the video as well. So that was the idea.
But I've seen one other music video that you made, and I'm thinking it was like, it was this castle at the beach or something.
Oh yeah, it was a lighthouse,
Oh, okay, this is different than the one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it is different, but this is the same videographer. This is actually how I got to know him. And it's also a fun story. It's as a sidetrack. It was mine and my husband's, Oshri, our second date, if you can call it that, was that he flew over to Iceland for 10 days. Because we met at solstice in New Mexico, but then we had our first date, which was kind of a date, when I missed my flight in LA. And we spent 12 hours together, and it was just, we knew immediately. And then the second date was that he came over to Iceland for 10 days. And I didn't want to take him to Reykjavik because I didn't live in Iceland at the moment. So I didn't want to go to Reykjavik where all my friends and family would want to see me. So I fled with him up north, and I have this friend there, and this videographer was staying with her. And immediately they just took us out to this lighthouse and this old abandoned fish tank and with water in it, and we just were standing there like in -6 degrees Celsius, freezing, and
I don't even know what that feels like.
we couldn't leave because the acoustics were so good. We just, you know, we were just there the whole day singing and chanting. And then the videographer made this amazing video. He just put it together just completely for free. And it was such a blessing. And he just loved, you know, working with us in this environment. And so, of course, when I wanted to do some kind of video later, I called him up and flew him back to Iceland. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, so I recorded everything in this cathedral. And then we took the material of the raw recording, we took it to the studio, and we've been layering it with some studio work. So it's like a hybrid, like half live recording and half not live recording.
Oh, that's neat. So then I'm assuming you don't use a click track or anything like that for your...
No click track. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that was when I was... Because I had this idea some time ago, and I started asking some producers and people who would record, like, I have this crazy idea to do it this way. And everybody was like, no click track. No, I don't think that's a good idea. And I mean, now being like 80% done with the album, I don't regret it, but at all. I don't regret it at all. But some of the things had to have significantly more work done because it didn't have click track.
Sure.
You know, okay. So they had to. Yeah. And even like with one of them, it's layered so much that it was almost a completely new thing in the end, which is beautiful. I mean, it just blossomed and, you know, it evolved into something different, but I just wanted to keep that essence of the church. You know, and I think it's shining through beautifully. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I recorded, I almost ended the meeting. I don't want to do that. I recorded my first album as a singer songwriter. So before I was Sirgun, without click tracks.
Yeah.
And I didn't regret it either. It was fine. I didn't know any different. But I recorded a lot of the songs with the bass player. I didn't use any percussion. So I did the piano track and the bass track, and we did that together, which sort of laid it down. And then we just added stuff over top. And I don't remember there ever being any issues about it, but I do recognize that it's a little easier to do it with a click track.
It is. I mean, it is so much easier, you know. And I realize that now. And I think it's...
Oh, and yeah, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, by the way, a click track is something that the artist who is recording listens to that's like a metronome that sets the the beat so that everyone who records after them is on the same page and can listen to it. So it just, it's sort of a trick for cohesion, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it makes sense to have it. It makes sense, you know, it makes it easier when you are recording with a lot of other people, you know. So, and I think my next project, probably I will use a click track. Mm-hmm. And but I also see myself doing it similarly in the future, also not using it, because it also just gives it some kind of organic feel, you know.
For sure.
And I can see the benefits of both, definitely.
Yeah. I recorded a sound healing album this year. Nice. And there was no click track, there was no measure numbers, there was no nothing. Right. It was just totally flow, and that was really beautiful, but it wasn't meant to be a song, so you know, it was that was the only way that we would have done that, obviously.
Right. And that's somehow that's I think it's similar to what the feel that I was trying to get from the sadhana, because I wanted it to be more of an experience rather than a song, you know. So it would just be like a flow of experience.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, and yeah. I love the way that this idea came to you, because, and let me know if this is not accurate, but when I met you at the German Yoga Festival, that was the first time that I had ever experienced people playing music live for the Kriya.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I'm not sure that people do that at solstice. I'd never seen it before anyway.
Right.
That was the first time I'd seen that.
I haven't seen it either. Yeah.
So did you know about that before this idea came to you, or was it afterwards?
You mean that usually people don't play with a Kriya, or?
No, like you... I'm just wondering how that happened. Like, did you go to the festival and notice that there were people playing music during the Kriya, and maybe that influenced you?
No, because I mean, it's a very personal thing. It's actually like it's the guidance from Yogi Bhajan of the Aquarian Sadhana with doing, you know, doing Japji, a Kriya, and then the chants. But like I put like my own personal sadhana into it. Like my personal sadhana was doing the Japji, the Kriya as a chanting meditation, and then doing sound healing, some kind of sound healing for relaxation, and then the mantras. So maybe it's not exactly by the book, and I'm actually okay with that. Because what's another thing, you know, it doesn't have to be that you would use this with the, you don't have to do it in that way, you know. It's just, this is my experience of the Aquarian sadhana. So it's,
And what would be the use of creating something that already existed?
Right, exactly. But I don't know if I've ever seen anywhere like anyone put up videos of full-length Aquarian sadhanas. So
no, I mean, they Spirit Voyage will live will post like the live version of you know, whatever happened.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think it's edited or anything, so that it, you know.
No, exactly.
And it's more the whole room rather than the musicians.
Yeah. And and also like for me, this is very much like an artistic expression kind of thing. But it's still supposed to be a little practical, mm-hmm. you know, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I look forward to hearing the full thing.
Yeah, me too.
Whenever that happens.
Yeah. We have almost completely finalized the first track.
Okay.
But then all the others are just around the corner.
Do you have a release date in mind?
I do. Yeah. I do have a release date in mind, and it's my birthday. And that's the 10th of December.
Oh, so it's soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It nice. Is soon.
Your birthday is the 10th of December. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, it's going to be kind of like a release party at the solstice, at the winter solstice.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah.
You can get some good video of that.
I hope to get some good video there. Yeah.
Winter solstice is so sweet.
I've never been. I'm really looking forward to going.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And we will be playing the Aquarian Sudden Chants one morning. So cool. Yeah, I'm happy to share that.
Yeah, it's a very cozy feeling festival.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah.
It's like, someone said it's like kind of a mixture between the, because these are the reference points, the European festival and the German festival.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I've never been to the European festival.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've been to the German festival.
Yeah.
I have to say the German festival is my favorite one that I've been to so far, though.
It is mine, too. I mean, this was my fifth year, I think. Yeah, fifth year at the German festival. It was my first festival to go to. And I've just, you know, I've become one of the family there. And it's just so essential for me to go. But now they've changed the dates.
Oh, when is it now?
So it's at summer solstice.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So this is going to be maybe a trouble. It's going to be negotiating in the family, you know, because
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because Oshri, my husband, is going to want to go to summer solstice in New Mexico.
But he's never been to the German yoga festival.
I know. I need to try to convince him.
Yeah,
I'll keep trying. Yeah, but it really is like it's become an essential part of my year to go there.
Yeah, that's nice.
Really
that
sweet.
Was so cozy and sweet. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
the food was so good. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe you could convince him that way, because the food at summer solstice, I don't think it's a secret. It's not the
best.
But
he actually likes it.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to have to try to convince him otherwise. Yeah.
So he can't imagine that there might be better food somewhere else than summer solstice?
I think he likes doing the solstice diet, you know, and you don't get that at the German festival, so.
Well, you get true solstice diet at the European festival, right?
That's true, yeah, you do get that, yeah. You get the true diet at the European festival, and...
With the no lunch.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Only watermelon oranges, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this year at the European festival, it was very different. We came there, it was... Me and Oshrin and our son, and then my sister came as well with her son, and because we had kids with us, it was just such a different experience. I mean, you must know, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just it's so different, you know. And we kept going off campus just to get them some breathing space, you know, because it was sometimes a little too intense for them.
Yeah. I've been pregnant there twice, infant twice, toddler twice.
After
the year with, I think it was newborn and, no wait. Oh, you know what? No, I didn't go twice with the toddler. The last time I went was when I had Prembeyant, my youngest, as an infant, and Amrudhunter, who was three, I think that was. And then the next year I opted not to go. So almost every year after going with children, I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then I would convince myself to go and be like, oh, I'm so glad I did this. But by the end go, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I keep telling myself it would be maybe different if my son has been like, had been growing up with the festivals, you know, but,
it could just be their personality too. Some kids just really love being around lots of kids, and other kids just need a lot more personal space.
Yeah. And I could definitely see it in the cousins, like in my son and his cousin, you know, because my nephew, he really loved being there. He really wanted to be in all the activities, and he could have, you know, just been there for 2 weeks, you know, and no problem. But my son was just not into it. And he needed to have like full on attention like the whole time, which is very difficult because it's a lot of work for an artist to be there. Yeah.
Yes. That was the thing, is it's not just the children. It was having to do music and be with children. And my husband would always do the full exchange and do the Yogi Tea Cafe or the sound crew or something like that.
Right.
So,
exactly. Like, and I think, I mean, I would love to go there just to experience the festival with my child. I think that would be perfect, you know, but it is, because it is so much work, you know, then it's just, it's really hard. It's hard to, you know, hold on to everything at the same time.
Yeah. And you're rehearsing too. You're performing, rehearsing.
Yeah.
If I were to do, so I went to this last festival, Satnam Fest East, alone. And I think that would be the ideal way for me to do, you know, no partner, no kids, just musicians. Cause then I'm not having to go, is it okay if I have a rehearsal at this time? You know, are you, there's just so much negotiation.
Exactly. And I think this is how I've been doing the German festivals, you know. So I've been just going alone. But I also, like, I wouldn't have any space, I think, for anything else otherwise, because I'm not only just, because I've been also not performing so much like as me, but being like a backup musician and like for other people. So maybe playing a concert, playing at Sadhana, and playing for a workshop like every day. So it would be like 3 to 4 gigs a day. And then having to find time to rehearse. And they do sound check there, so also sound check. And it would always just be full on from, you know, 4 in the morning until 11:30 in the evening. And it would be even hard to squeeze in having a plate to eat, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They work you hard at the German yoga festival.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But I mean, it's also my fault and, you know, and my blessing and my pleasure, you know, it's all of that, you know, I love it. And I love being off service, and I love just making music with everybody. And so it's been really such an honor to be a part of their festival. It's so good. And in the European festival, it was starting to go that way, but it was a little too intense for me.
It's so big.
Yeah. And I think, well, maybe not the size of it that was the most intense part. I think it was the weather. It was the, and maybe where we camped, because we were sleeping in a tent. And it was not located optimally, and it was really hard to get some good sleep. And that was the worst thing, because in the German festival, I would, you know, at least have my own space to go and lay down in the middle of the day or whatever.
Right.
So I could rest whenever I needed rest, but at the European festival, that wasn't even possible. So I actually became sick in the end, like at the last 3 days of the European festival. So yeah. But I let it be a lesson to me, you know. I'll find a better way to do it next year, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all a process, you know.
Yeah. I remember the first year I had my first baby, going to Solstice and navigating the festival. I wasn't even doing no, was I doing music? I think I had opted out of doing music that year, but just being new to the whole mothering thing and the sleep deprivation.
Right.
And I had kind of a mental breakdown there, and it was sort of before I, before I had a handle on, you know, how to be all of these new things, you know?
Right. Yeah. 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 Wow.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I'm so glad that you, it worked out. You were in LA and we were able to chat.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice and such a wonderful podcast. Happy that you're doing this.
Yeah, me too. It's very fun. And I love finding out more about my fellow musicians and spiritual musicians. It's
yeah, it's really great. It builds a community, keeps building onto the community of us.
Yeah. I'd like to at some point to not just have one person at a time, but I thought this was a good way to start, but have sort of like a panel, you know, and, and we could have like you and Oshri and Jai Jagdish and whoever, you know, whoever random artist was available, you know, that day.
Yeah. That would be wonderful.
Talk about stuff. So well, it'll evolve.
Yeah, exactly.
So where can people find you?
So finding me in person is going to be difficult.
Well, online.
Well, I have a website, fjolamusic.com, and it's spelled with a J. So FJOLA music.com.
Okay. I will put that in the links too, so that people can click on it.
Thank you. And then I have Fjola Music also on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
I've been in a little bit of a social media hiatus right now. Like I haven't been doing anything because I've just been full on in the album work and family work. So for a month and a half or something, I haven't really posted anything. But I'm about to start the engines again.
All right.
And I will be launching a crowdfunder soon for the album.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so that's also something that's exciting.
Wonderful. And, so stay tuned for that. That's a really fun thing that I think people really like getting involved in. That you know, they get to see the whole process and they get to feel like they're a part of it and they're creating it. And
yeah, exactly. And it's just such a brilliant thing to. It's such an Aquarian thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Just joining all these energies together, you know, to make something nice, you know, and feeling that you get the support of people, you know, to do something that, you know, the heart is calling out for.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for being here. And
thank you so much.
Wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Satnam.
Bye.